Hello, welcome to the Lean of Plants podcast. My name is Chelsea, and if you are struggling to lose weight on a plant-based diet, then this podcast is for you. While there are thousands of books, podcasts, and resources about the benefits of a plant-based diet, the reality is that being vegan does not guarantee losing weight. If you are feeling frustrated and confused about where to start, or you know exactly what you should be doing, but you just can't seem to rustle up enough willpower to do it, then keep listening. In this podcast, you'll learn the truth about plant-based weight loss, but just as importantly, how to use proven methods of behavioral change to turn what you know into lifelong habits that lead to getting and staying lean. Can't wait to get started. Let's do this. Hello, welcome to the Lean of Plants podcast. Stoked to have you here. We're going to share and talk and mull over the top 10 weight loss habits that have helped me to lose 40 pounds and that I consistently see people who get uber successful use to not only lose it but keep it off. This is the most important thing when it comes to weight loss. It's not just what gets you into a calorie deficit quickly, what allows you to lose weight the fastest, what is the most optimal. None of that stuff matters if you can't actually continue to do this for the long haul. You can lose all the weight in 4 months, but if you gain that back over the next 5 years, then it's not actually something that is transformative to your life. In fact, for most people listening, we've done that kind of cycle. Most of us have lost weight in the past, but then had that creep back up. If you continue to do these habits, if you go all in on these 10 things, I can guarantee that you will not only lose the weight, but you will also be able to keep it off. And the reason I can say that with so much assurity is that we see people beat the odds, and myself, like I beat the odds in how abysmal most dieting is. Most dieting fails because we do not actually do these things, or we do them for a little bit and then we go back. They're not arduous, they do not take a ton of time, but they are exceptionally powerful. The little disclaimer on this, what I should say, is that you are most likely going to have heard these things before. So if you are not implementing them, this is your chance. This is your sign to actually start doing these things. And what I want to share before we get into that is really rethinking identity around our behaviors so that we are primed to make change. And then going over how to make change easy, obvious, satisfying, so that we can actually do it. Because we can know what to do, we can have a blueprint for what success looks like, but it doesn't mean that you're actually going to get up in the morning and eat your broccoli and potatoes. It doesn't mean that it forces change upon you, but you can set up an environment that allows that to happen. You can have paradigm shifts that prime you to make big, bold, messy, consistent change that will enable you to achieve those goals. So let's get into it. The first thing that's really important to understand is that who you are today is because of the habits, actions, and identity that you currently hold or that you have held up to this point. You are not a victim to your circumstance. You are not where you are because of your hormones or your upbringing or something outside of your control. You are here because of the responses that you have made to the situations in your life. If you do not accept that, then this is probably not the podcast for you. Because if we do not accept that and we do not take radical responsibility, then we're going to have the same outcomes. It doesn't matter how valid all of those excuses may be, they do not help us actually move forward. So once we start to accept that and we go, okay, I'm here today because of me, my response, my actions, my habits, then we start to realize that we are going to have to change. And we are the sum of those habits, not just one or two of them, all of them. And when it comes to food specifically, there is so much wrapped up in our identity around food that we have to be prepared to change everything. And this has been I wouldn't say a revelation to me in the last couple of weeks, but it's something that has been honed in on so much more as I've had this conversation with more people. We talked about this in a live that we did recently inside of the Lean with Plants community. And I wanted to do a bit of a bingo where we went through these 10 habits and we talked about on that live who was doing them, who wasn't, what were the reasons for it, when could we make a date to start implementing them, get some accountability in there, get some momentum. And it was so fascinating because before we got into that, we have a culture of wanting to share wins and celebrate wins because that is satisfying and it goes against what we've been taught, which is to be bad or to beat ourselves up and to feel bad about not making enough progress. So everything we do, we're always going to share a lot of wins. We shared a win about an amazing woman in our community. If you're listening, you know who you are. And she'd been kind of plateaued, kind of very slowly gaining, losing weight for a number of months. And she wrote a post in our group about how she was feeling a bit sorry for herself. She was wondering, like, why is this happening? And then she got really serious about what she was doing. She realized that no matter how easy it appeared for everyone else, she had to take ownership of her situation. And she started to implement some of the things that are really, really core, really basic. And phenomenally, she showed a chart, which was insane. Her weight just started to plummet down. And she lost 3 pounds in the first week of starting to make these changes after feeling like she was trying so hard for a number of months. And it was just, it was this kind of like phenomenal testament or indication that when we do those basics, we actually stop comparing to what it should be like and we let go of those old behaviors, we can see phenomenal change fast. The other thing it highlighted to me is that how easy it is to let go of those things or to dismiss the things that we don't think we need to address because we want to hold on to some semblance of our past. We want to hold on to something from our old identity around food that is going to feel like we don't know who we are if we let that go. I was having a conversation with someone in that live and they were sharing about how they didn't want to stop cooking with oil or they hadn't given it a go yet because they were fearful of how their husband was going to respond. And they didn't want to have those hard conversations. They didn't want to be that girl. They didn't want to be the inconvenience. And we were able to gently but challengingly talk through what were the implications of having that kind of mindset on your life. Like, what is the implication of not wanting to take up space, of not wanting to inconvenience people, of not wanting to be that girl? What are the implications on your life? I mean, ultimately, a lot of where she was because of that. And kudos to you, like, you're probably listening, and I'm so flipping proud of you because you're making those hard changes to actually become the person that you want to be, to metamorphose into the flippin' amazing butterfly that you're going to be that is not only going to lose this, but also keep it off. But it's fascinating, and I know that I have experienced so much of this that I still am when we hold on to parts of the past. And where we hold on to them because we do not want to experience the pain of loss or the pain of unknowing like who we would be in the world if we did not have those things. When we think like that, we are not able to change. Because I've seen this with people who crush it and people who continually struggle. The people who crush it are holding on to their old identity lightly. That when you say, hey, like, you're going to need to change the way that you show up at a party, you're going to need to stop drinking alcohol, you're going to need to start cooking in a different way, you're going to need to inconvenience the people around you, you're going to need to be the weirdo who eats broccoli and stinks out the office microwave. The people that go, okay, yeah, I'm going to give it a go. Those people see success. The people that go, I could never do that, that's not who I am, they struggle and they will continue to do so. And so when I think about this, I think of it in terms of almost like this, not an equation necessarily, maybe a bit of an equation where we're trying to solve X plus Y equals whatever. And when it comes to our habits and behavior, we have all of these things that we're doing consistently that make up who we are today. So if we think about wanting to change them, how can we possibly know that if we hold on to an old behavior, even if we change everything else, that we're going to get the desired outcome? Because it is the sum of who we are today. Everything that you do around food is the sum of who you are today. All of your behavior around food. So can we actually pick and choose what's going to work? Especially when we have no concept of what is going to work because we've never experienced it before. Like in some ways, it's the ultimate ego to say, well, I'm going to start adding veggies to my diet and I'm going to do this and I'm going to have some level of accountability, or I'm going to do this little part here and I'm going to dip my toes in, and think that we are able to do that with and get some kind of outcome. Like in some ways, like that's kind of crazy that we think that we can pick and choose, us who have never been there. Like if this is you, maybe you have, that you're going to be able to just go, well, I want this, but I don't want that. I want to keep my weekend binging, but I'm just going to change this part. No. Like I'm here to tell you today that change is so flippin' possible, but you have to be prepared to let go of it all. You have to be open. If you really want this and you really want growth, you have to be prepared to shed your skin. This is the hero's journey. I've talked about this so many times. I'm going to continue to talk about it because it is so flippant important that we understand that we are on a journey of change and growth that is culminating in death. Metaphorical death, because the hero goes through this process of they leave their comfort zone. That is part of what makes them the hero. They go through all these obstacles. They experience this great internal transformation that then culminates in the ultimate battle, the ultimate sacrifice. And at that point, the story follows a predictable pattern where they are prepared to either succeed or die trying. And that is actually known as death and rebirth. So if you're not dying to your old self, how can you have that rebirth? You're not going to have it. And what I love about this is that it doesn't necessarily mean you are going to have to let go of everything in order to get to who you want to be. There may be things that you can keep, but you have to be prepared to let them go. You have to hold them with extremely light fingers, because if you're going to hold them tightly, it's an indication that you are not prepared to do the things that are going to allow you to change. It's an indication that when things feel difficult and when they challenge your identity, your default position is to hold tighter to the past rather than being open and curious about change in the future and being like, okay, you know what? I'm going to give it a go. And I saw this great quote. I think I actually saw it today. It came up on my Instagram feed and it said, hard pill to swallow. You'll never go further than the limits of your identity, of the identity that you've prescribed for yourself. You'll never go further than the limits of the identity you've prescribed for yourself. And that is so flippin' true. I see this time and time again. The cool part about this is that once you have clear data on the actions, habits, and identities of successful people, then you can actually start making those changes relatively easily. And the cool thing is that we have a structure now that we know works. We know that if you get into a calorie deficit, you will burn fat, regardless of your hormones, your thyroid, how old you are, how much you exercise. If you eat more vegetables and you eat them every single day, you will most likely reduce your calories. Well, you will reduce your calories if you're not currently doing it. If you stop cooking with oil. We have all these really predictable, concrete things that you can start doing that are going to get you into that weight loss zone. And then from a behavioral change standpoint, we know that if you set up your environment for success, if you get accountability, if you have things easy, if you keep prep simple, if you make it a no-brainer, if you practice doing hard things, if you practice doing something a little bit better than what you've done before, if you practice getting out of an all-in, all-out mindset, you will see change and you will sustain it and you will build on that. Like, that's so flippin' exciting. But before we move on how to actually do that, let's leave the comfort zone. Let's let go of the old. Let's realize that our identity is going to need to change. We can hold on to some things to our detriment. Or we can be open to the process of metamorphosis. We can enter the chrysalis as a caterpillar and emerge a butterfly. We have the option to do that, but we don't do that when we go, well, you know what? I'm gonna keep the legs of the caterpillar. Or I'm just gonna keep like the squishy body. I'm gonna keep the color. Yeah, I'll get wings, but let me just keep my caterpillar body. It's like, it doesn't work like that. The butterfly wouldn't be able to fly if he kept the caterpillar body. It wouldn't be able to do the things that he needs to do. Another thing I often think about, and I have this conversation quite often with people inside the Leaner Plants world, clients, our coaches, like, we talk about this concept. And it's fascinating to me how often that, like, we have these systems where if you want to change, you've got to do X, X, Y, Z, blah, blah, blah. All these things. 1, 2, 3. Do it and you see change. And then we still have often people that say, well, I don't need to do that yet. Or I'm not at that stage yet. Or I only do this occasionally. And that may be fine, but if someone is telling you the blueprint to follow, and if you have that, then go all in on it. Do not assume that you know more than the person who has had success. Like, if you are listening to this podcast and you're saying, hey, you know what, this resonates with me, then follow the advice that you are given. Don't just pick and choose. I mean, I always say this, actually. I say, like, pick and choose. If it resonates, if it doesn't. But you've got to be prepared to make the changes that are actually necessary to success. And what I've realized through a lot of coaching myself and through a lot of learning is that most of the time, my idea of what's required to be successful is very different from what's actually needed to be successful. And all the things that feel comfortable and normal that I want to hold on to are things that typically hold me back from success. So I'm putting that in there so that there's some kind of increase. Well, what I'm hoping for, at least, is that there's an increase in trust that when you have a blueprint, follow it. Like, you can blindly follow it. And I see so many people who, when they just go with curiosity and openness, they make phenomenal change. And the more openness and curiosity you approach things with, the more that you hold on to your old identity lightly, the easier the change is. And oftentimes the things that we fear most that hold us back actually become a huge source of fulfillment and joy. I think about this in terms of having children, and I was so resistant to the idea of being a mum. I didn't even like that word. To me, it was a dirty word, and I didn't see myself in the identity that I had set up of what it meant to be a mum. I didn't want to be frumpy. I didn't want to gain any weight. I didn't want to have to look after someone else and in some ways sacrifice my body to carry and get another human to survive and to thrive and all of these things. It didn't fit in with the identity that I'd set up of what a mum looks like. The crazy thing is that now, since becoming a mum, this is one of the most fulfilling and beautiful and wonderful things that has caused me so much growth, and it gives me so much more than I ever thought possible. Now I really feel like I am that girl. I am the girl that comes to an event with her own food. I am the one that rings up the restaurant. I am the one that says, hey, let's go and do this as a picnic instead of going out to eat. I have made so many changes where I show up for myself in the way that is aligned with who I want to be, and I'm okay with inconveniencing or what I would have considered inconveniencing people in that process. I'm okay with being misunderstood. I'm okay with being weird. And that identity of not wanting to be that girl is now something that I embrace so much, that I love being that girl. I love being the person that does my own thing. I love being the person that, when I think of myself, I think of myself as almost this misunderstood solo little hero. Because if you remember last podcast episode, or it may have been a few before, I was talking about romanticizing this process of kind of struggling for what you want, that hero's journey. And I love it. I embrace it so wholeheartedly. So I want to challenge you that when you start listening to these habits, because we're going to get into them right now, there will be internal resistance to implementing them. And any time that comes up, I want you to ask yourself, how does this challenge my current identity? And if it's really challenging your current identity, that is even more of an indication that you should do it, that it is going to be even better for you to do because of that resistance, because you are resistant to those kind of things that are going to bring you that growth. Teach yourself. This is the thing that I absolutely love most about this, more than just the habits themselves, is the more that we prove to ourselves that we are capable of breaking old patterns, the more that we become unbeatable, the more that we have undeniable success, because we've broken down the things that held us to where we were or contributed to who we were. And we go, you know what? That may be how I act now. I can change that. I'm going to break that down. I'm going to do something different, no matter how uncomfortable it is. I'm going to prove to myself that I am capable of doing the thing that feels most difficult. So how do we make these changes? We have to make them small and easy and obvious so that we actually implement them. Because right now we have a trust gap with ourselves. Shout out to Keisha for coming up with this. Amazing friend of mine who's lost close to 80 pounds inside Lean of Plants, now works in Lean of Plants. And it's so true that we continually say, hey, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to get my crap together. I'm going to work out. I'm going to eat healthy. And then we don't. So we have this gap between who we think we are wanting to be, who we should be, and then who we actually are. And so the only way that you really bridge that gap, and this is the most important thing, because this allows you to start to do harder things. This is what allows someone to become an ultra marathon runner or even run a half marathon. This is what allows someone to stay disciplined even when everything around them is going to custard and they had a bad day at work. This is what allows someone to eat potatoes and broccoli when they want to eat pizza, because they know that when they say they're going to do something, there's no gap. There's no trust gap there in terms of actually implementing it, because they've bridged that over time with tiny actions. So in the beginning, when we're trying to achieve that, we want to make the bar so low so that we can step over it. We want to make things extremely easy and obvious and satisfying, James Clear, so that we can actually implement it. The more that we do this, the more that we are able to shorten that gap so that we can do difficult things. The more that you start to actually keep those commitments to yourself, the more evidence that you have that you will be able to do that in harder situations, which is what you're going to need to be ultimately successful. Not only just in harder situations, but for longer term. If you've done something 5 times, the amount of proof that you have is much more than if you've done it once. If you've done something 100 times and 30 of those times were really a struggle to go and do that, then you know that you can do it for 100 more. So the more that we stack evidence, the easier it is to actually make change. So we have to be prioritizing a system that makes it easy to stack evidence. I mean, you can think about that this way. It's very, very easy to eat 30 Skittles. It's very easy to stuff your face with tiny chocolate chips. But if you had to actually eat an elephant and you had to eat 30 elephants, that's going to take you quite a significant amount of time. The interesting thing about this is that when it comes to habits and patterns, habits are built on repetition rather than intensity. Let me say that for you people in the back. Habits are built on repetition, not intensity. So you go out and you do a hard workout. you go and you commit to doing 75 hard and you struggle through that every day. It does not mean that just because you've done it hard, difficult, and it's been, there's a lot of magnitude and force exerted to actually implement that, it doesn't mean that you're going to be able to continue to do that. Whereas if you have thousands of reps behind you, you will do another one. So repetition, patterns, consistency, it always beats intensity. And the cool thing about it is it has this exponential effect on your life, because once you bridge that, once you know that you've done that and you have those reps, like I said, you can do much, much harder things. So we've got to make it easy. We've got to look at how can we set up an environment to be successful. We've got to have just that small amount of mental toughness, just an itty bit. Expect that there's going to be some obstacles. Plan for them. Expect that you are lazy. Expect that we are hardwired to choose the path of least resistance. I think about this all the time. Why do we have roads? Why do we have Wi-Fi? Why do we have the medical procedures that we do? Because some smart person tried to solve to make things easier, to make our lives better. We literally go from A to B in cars rather than horses because it is faster and easier and more comfortable. No one has the motivation to do that unless we are hardwired to choose the path of least resistance. So you have to work with it rather than constantly thinking you need more willpower. You do not need more willpower. You need better systems. You need a faster, easier, straighter road to success. And the way that we achieve this is what I've talked about thousands of times in the Lean with Plants podcast. But a quick recap on that is that we want to set up an environment. We want to remove the obstacles that are there for success. So if you want to eat veggies every day, if that's a habit, you've got to have veggies in your house. If you want to stop cooking with oil, get oil out of your house. If you want to stop eating and binging on cookies, then get the cookies out of your house. Put them in a lockbox if you have to. Don't go to the supermarket when you're hungry. Have a backup plan. If you want to stop drinking with your friends every weekend, get different friends. Go and do different things. Like, it sounds like it's all obvious. I want to read out this post of, it kind of makes you laugh. Like, the thing about all of this, it's so flippant obvious, but we still don't do it because we somehow think we're going to beat the system. It's like I talked about having this insane ego that we think, well, I'm just going to pick and choose what's going to work, when we've never actually had success. And so we don't know. Like, that's ultimate ego. Like, leave it at the door. This post says, it's not hard to wake up early if you don't stay out late. Invest money if you don't spend it on stupid crap. Eat healthy if junk food isn't in your house. You don't need to be a genius to win. You just need to stick with the obvious choice for more than an effing week. I feel like I can mic drop at this point, but it's like, just make it obvious. Want to go to bed early? You got to go, or want to go to wake up early? You got to go to bed early. So let's get into what these habits are, and we'll talk about some ways that we can make them easy as we go. So number one is to stop cooking with oil. And I mean really stop cooking with oil. Stop having oil in your house. Learn to water saute. Learn to cook veggies with baking paper. Over a very short period of time, you will find oily vegetables and oily foods much, much more difficult to actually enjoy. This comes back to what I talked about when we are open to change, we often find that the things we were most resistant to become the most fulfilling. I can tell you for a fact that I didn't think I was going to enjoy eating veggies without oil. Most of the people inside of our program were cooking veggies with oil. They were cooking foods with oil. They were baking with oil, oily potatoes. That's what you see online all the time. Bucket loads of oil. Now, if I go and get a takeout meal of a stir fry, which I would never use oil for, it is hard for me to stomach the amount of oil. When I go somewhere and I happen to eat potatoes that have been roasted with oil, that is not appealing to me. It's actually really gross. And so I enjoy the way that I cook without oil far more than what I used to when it did have oil. So be open to change. You don't need to look at this like, well, I could never do that. Veggies are going to taste bad. Give it a go. Hold lightly to that as an identity. Hold lightly, make the changes, experiment, put the reps in, do whatever is required in order to make that easy. Put a kettle by your cooking station. If you don't have a kettle, then you are obviously not a New Zealander. You can buy a kettle if you want to boil water. It's going to make things a whole lot easier as well. But you could get a little oil dispenser and put water in it. You can get that oil out of your house so that you are not tempted to use it. You can buy baking paper. You can modify the recipes that you make. You do not need to be cooking with oil. Even if you are making something that is more decadent, that is an off-plan meal, if you choose to not cook that with oil, you are putting a stake in the ground that I am just a different kind of person now. If you are making cupcakes for a party that you are going to, make them without oil. If you're vegan and you've made that switch, then saying, hey, I don't think I can make amazing food without oil is the same as someone saying, oh, I don't think I can live without bacon. It's just that they have an identity around that and they're not prepared to put in the effort required to see whether they could. My life is pretty good and I don't eat bacon. My life is pretty good and I don't have to cook with eggs. I can make pretty amazing vegan food without using cream and milk and parmesan and feta and all these things I see people online using. I'm very happy to not have to use those things. I don't think it affects my life in a negative way. I don't feel like I'm missing out. So if you're using that same kind of excuse on the things that you make now because you're cooking with oil, then you're probably doing what old you used to do about veganism, if you're currently vegan, or some other random thing. We are capable of change. Don't hold on to the old identity about what that means if you switch. Hold it loosely. And coming back again, we see the people who get success, the people who keep it off, the people who beat all odds. They don't cook with oil. They don't use oil. Most of them don't even have it in their house. And if they do, it's gone rancid because they never use it or someone else in their home uses it. I cannot remember the last time I cooked with oil. The one thing I will do occasionally is use a spray if I am making pancakes. That is literally the only time I do not have a pourable oil that I use. I think my husband may use some now that he's started making bread for our kids. You don't have to cook with oil. Moving on from that is to buy core veggies that you can use at every meal so that you start to build reps around a consistent thing that doesn't require a ton of thought process. So for me, that's broccoli. I think broccoli goes with absolutely everything. Broccoli's cool because unless you're in New Zealand, you can buy it in florets that are already cut up. So it's very easy to put that in the microwave, steam it up in a steamer, and you've got a meal that is very fast. So you've got a side that is very, very fast. It can go in pasta. It can go in wraps. It can go in risotto. It can go in chili. It can go in anything. So for me, if I have the ability to buy broccoli and it's not either out of season or $10 a head or something wild, then I just always have broccoli in my house. It's a no-brainer. And one of the pitfalls I see is that as people start to try and eat more veggies, they think they need to have an entire meal plan. They are trying to add a ton of complexity and they're looking and following influencers who are amazing cooks and have recipe channels. They see the variety there, and variety is positive. It really is. But they see all that, they buy some of those things, and then those things go rotten in the fridge because you don't know how to use them. Or you don't have a consistent method that just doesn't take too many brain cells in those moments when it's most crucial that it's obvious and easy. And so if you have a core veggie, you eliminate decision fatigue. You eliminate having to figure out what you're going to buy at the supermarket because you know that that's always going to be there. You eliminate running out because you start to build a cadence around what you need. I always have broccoli in my fridge because I have experience of how long it takes me to get through that. It's not something I had in the beginning, but because I have consistent repetition with buying that and using that, I'm now in a system where I don't run out, which is absolutely phenomenal. It's just repetition. It's just habit. That's all it is. I'm not a wizard. I'm not a broccoli magician. It's just consistency. Any kind of meal I'm making, I know I can make a side of veggies. Because broccoli, I don't really even have to cut it. I can just break it up and I can put it in the microwave. I don't have to dirty any pans. I don't have to think about it. It's a no-brainer. And so you want to give yourself that gift of simplicity. And if you find something that you enjoy, then keep eating that thing. When we were in the States, we had snap peas, baby carrots, and cherry tomatoes. And that was the absolute best core vegetable system that we had, because no matter what was happening in the day, we could eat them. If we were going out, if we were traveling around, if we went to Disney World, we could just grab a container and we could put those in there. And so that system worked super well for us at a point when we didn't have access to a microwave, because our ability to eat vegetables was not bottlenecked by our environment. So this is another thing that's really important to think about when you're thinking about all of the core habits you're trying to create. Do you have bottlenecks that are going to make it hard for you to follow through on them? And if so, eliminate them. Make it easy for yourself. If you go to work and you, at this point, are not going to embrace the identity of, like, not giving a flying fig about what people think of you and put broccoli in the microwave and stink out your whole office, then bring foods that are not going to do that. Bring the snap peas and the baby carrots and the cherry tomatoes. Start there. Do something rather than just going, well, I'm not going to bring veggies at all. Look at the constraints that you have. Look at the obstacles and the bottlenecks within your specific situation and plan for them. And this is the biggest thing that I see where people muck up, is that they do not really get clear and honest with themselves about the specific obstacles that they face. So they don't plan for them. They don't remove those constraints. There is an analogy that I absolutely flip and love. It's in the book Essentialism by Greg McKeown, one of my absolute favorite books. And he talks about the difference between trying to push a boulder up a hill. You've got all your force behind it. There's this huge rock. Anytime that you start to feel weak, that boulder starts rolling back on you. And it's a struggle. You're most likely never going to get up to the top because it's too heavy. You contrast that by having a boulder that is perched on a decline. It is ready to roll. And there's rocks that are stopping it roll. All you really need to do is remove those rocks. So there's a difference between exerting a ton of force to try and make something happen, which is effort, and then removing obstacles, removing constraint, which is just leverage. Like, you're actually using gravity to get that boulder down rather than force. And so that's the way that we want to think about this. What are the boulders, what are the little rocks, I should say, that I can move so that this can move freely? This is easy. It doesn't require effort. That's what you're trying to achieve. One of the things that can be a good little help for this in the beginning is if you're trying to eat a pound of veggies a day, which is what we recommend and an incredible habit for weight loss, then when you go and buy them, whatever those core veggies are, this is going to be your side. This is over the top of the veggies that you cook with. Then set aside a little space in your trolley, or if you're doing online shopping, do it however you're going to do it, and work out what 1 pound is a day. So a head of broccoli, for example, is about a pound. So really, if you're doing a cadence of 7 days a week shopping, you just need to set aside 7 broccoli and then you're good. Or set aside actually 8 or 9. Like, have a little bit of a buffer there so that when you go to shop next, you've got 2. They're probably not amazing, but they're still fine. And that way you know, hey, I'm going to have enough because I've planned for that. And then put the other things in your trolley, the other veggies that you're going to cook with, the rest of the veggies for your family. That's just part of your normal shop. So if you're new to this kind of lifestyle, that can be helpful as well. Number 3 is to cook half veggies in every recipe. It's funny because a lot of the people that I talk to who have a ton of success, they eat very simply because it's removing constraints to actually implementing anything at all. If you can put a broccoli in the microwave, if you can microwave some potatoes, if you've got a pre-made sauce, then it's much easier than cooking a recipe from scratch and figuring out what am I actually going to make. But if you are someone who cooks for your family and you make recipes, then get into the habit of adding half non-starchy vegetables to that. So that means that when you look on Pinterest and you see a curry and maybe there's a few eggplants in there or there's some onion, add in literally a buttload of veggies to bulk that up so that when you're cooking it and when you're putting all those things together, you're upping the veggies to reduce the calorie density. I love this habit because I am someone who makes a lot of recipes. I do enjoy cooking and I cook for a family. This habit right here, I believe, is what has safeguarded me from weight gain in moments where I have a more of a comfort meal, where I am feeling like depressed and I can't be bothered, because I just have this as a habit. I'm not going to make a meal that doesn't have vegetables. So even on my most decadent meals, if I'm cooking for myself, there will be a lot of veggies in there, even if I don't end up having a side. And really candidly, this is one of the reasons that I see people who know everything, they know what they should be doing, and they continually lose and gain weight. They're not doing this. They're not consistently eating veggies. So if you have these two and you use both of them, a side of veggies or some snacky veggies that are your core, and you also cook your recipes with veggies, then you've just now safeguarded yourself from weight gain. You've now safeguarded yourself from all in or all out behavior, because whether you're eating out, whether you have a good meal or a bad meal, you know what I mean? We're not demonizing food. This is literally just for an example. A great for weight loss meal or a terrible for weight loss meal. Whatever you do, you're still in a habit of eating veggies, and really that's all you're trying to achieve. I've had many moments where my weight loss has paused or stalled, or like now when I'm in a maintenance phase or even a weight gain phase in order to build muscle, I know 1000% that I'm never going to gain back the 18 kilos or the 40 pounds that I lost, because I have these safety nets here. No matter what goes on in my life, no matter how things go to custard, I didn't have that before. Number four is to find a core starch that you can prep consistently and make it easy. So things like microwave potatoes, pre-made rice, create some kind of rolling prep system so that when you run out of one thing, you instantly cook the replacement. If you make a ton of potatoes and you cook them up, as soon as you start to get low on that, you cook more so that you never don't have those. And bonus points here to make this as easy as possible. The more that you can get frozen rice, the more that you buy washed potatoes, the more that you have potatoes that don't need cutting because they're small enough, the more that you have a really, really easy system for that, the more likely you will be successful, because these are things that you can add to your veggies and you actually have a full meal. If you're in a pinch, like worst case scenario, you put some veggies and you put some starches and then you're good to go. And then so number five is to find some kind of pre-made condiment so that you can make that even easier. And now you really do have a full meal. So if you're in New Zealand, I highly recommend the Turkish Kitchen smoked manuka hummus. It is so good. Everyone I know here who is a Kiwi absolutely loves that hummus. If you can't get hold of that and you're in America, Trader Joe's buffalo style dip, it's only about 40 calories per serve. It is next level delicious. And if you're in the rest of the world, I have no idea, you're on your own, you need to read some labels, figure out what is going to work for you. And this right here, don't be too pedantic about it. Because all of these things and all of these habits, they're all just really trying to reduce your calories. And that's why they work. They work because they get you into a calorie deficit by making an improvement to your current lifestyle. So if you need to find a condiment, don't find one that is predominantly made of oil. Don't find a mayonnaise. Don't find a oil-based dressing. But if you find one that has a little bit, like the hummus that I use, and that's going to allow you to eat a 500-calorie meal that's got broccoli and potatoes and an amazing dip, do it. It is worth it. It is worth it to have that tiny bit of oil in a condiment that you buy to allow you to eat a better meal and a faster meal and to remove constraints. So you've got to be asking that question, how do I remove constraints? I truly believe that the more things that you can buy that you don't have to make yourself, the easier it is to be consistent. Number six is to create core meals. Have a breakfast, a lunch, and a dinner that you can eat consistently, that you always have the ingredients for, that you really enjoy, that you can make in 5 to 10 minutes. And so what this does is it solves for busyness, it solves for not knowing what to make, not knowing what to cook, not liking what you're going to make, because if it is easy, fast, you have the ingredients, preferably something that includes some of the prep that you've already done with whatever starch you're going to be using, then you're going to be able to throw something together really, really quickly, and you're going to be able to get more reps. And then these core meals are going to come into play when you'd normally go get takeout, or you normally go and get the frozen pizza and reheat it, because you're now creating less constraints to the behavior that you want to actually start implementing. And then the more you do that, you're bridging that trust gap. And then the more you do that as well, is that you are getting in more reps than if you were to have a 7-day meal plan. Like, this is my biggest problem and my biggest gripe with meal plans, is that there's too much decision-making needed. There's too much thought process. There's too much planning. You get to the fridge and you don't have one ingredient that you're going to need. You have to read through all that thing. It's just too hard. So don't make it harder for yourself. You don't need 7 different meals. Have 3. It's not even 7. People want to have 7 breakfasts, 7 lunch, and 7 dinners. What's that? 14? 21. 21 different meals. You don't need 21 different meals. You need 3. Have 3 different meals. And then start changing it and having some kind of variety as you need to. When you're starting to build it, have variety within those meals. So if you're having overnight oats for breakfast, you can put in a different berry. You can put in cinnamon. You can put in grated carrot. You can put in a different type of plant milk. If you're making a salad for lunch where you've got your potatoes and then you've got your broccoli and your dressing and whatever kind of other salad mix you want to put in there, you can change up the olives. You can change up and put some leftover dal. You can put some rice as your starch. You can put some soy sauce. You can make it a sushi bowl with what you have instead of one that had potatoes. Like, you have the freedom to do that. So you're really just wanting to create a very simple framework that then you can replicate. Number 7 is to start drinking soda water, if you like the fizz, instead of fizzy drinks and alcohol. Oh yeah, we're going to talk about alcohol, because this is something that identity-wise holds people back more than calories. Big pause for effect. Your identity around alcohol is going to hold you back more than the calories in it. If you are someone who says, hey, I need to have my drink every weekend to relax, I am not going to change my behavior around that, then you are not holding loosely to an identity that got you where you are today. You are picking and choosing, and you are saying, I want to keep that, and I am going to hold on so tightly to that because that's part of who I am. Who you are, it needs to change, right? Like, isn't that why you're here? Isn't that why you're listening to this podcast? Because you want change? So if change requires that your identity changes, then isn't it logical to assume that you're going to have to give things up? So if you're going to hold on to that so tightly, then how do you expect to change? How are you going to actually metamorphose? And maybe you can continue to have some alcohol, but you've got to be prepared to make significant changes. And I would stress and challenge the people who struggle with this most, the people that hold on tightest to it, you're probably the one that should give it up, if I'm really honest. Because if it's that much of a crutch where you think you have to have it and you need alcohol to live your life, probably an indication that you should, at least for a while, give it a rest. The thing about alcohol is that it contains a lot of calories and it also lowers our inhibitions. So we tend to eat more. We also tend to be in environments where we eat more when we're drinking it. We're in environments that are not truly aligned in general with the kind of person that we are trying to become. There's a big difference between going to a club and drinking a lot and doing shots than there is being the kind of person who wakes up early on a Saturday morning and goes for a run. Like, those are very, very different types of behaviors. It's a very, very different lifestyle. So what I want you to ask yourself is, what are the kinds of behaviors and lifestyle that someone who has the success I want has? They most likely go to bed early. They most likely don't really drink. And if they do, it's very occasionally. It was really interesting because I was at an event for gym owners conference. And it was this year, holy heck. We're towards the end of the year. And they had some events where there was alcohol supplied. And like, yeah, a few people were drinking, but it was fascinating to me how many people at that event were not drinking, like, at all. They were having soda water. They were having, like, fizzy water in some way. And it's because they're gym junkies. Like, they're not going to be, like, it's just not part of who they are. And it was fascinating because at an event like that, normally you would see a lot of people drinking. And it was surprising how few actually were. The other thing is the fizzy drinks, the juice, anything where you're drinking your calories. I'm not going to add coffee to this and soy milks because I do believe that we tend to drink those things differently. I still have soy milk. I think soy milk's really amazing for you. I put it in my coffee. I don't do creamers or anything like that because those things are highly, highly filled with sugar. Probably the easiest fill to have is just not to drink sugar. Not to drink processed sugar. If you're going to make a smoothie, fine. But if you are currently drinking fizzy drinks, then you can save yourself thousands of calories a week simply by removing this from your diet. And soda water with like a little bit of lemon is amazing. I am drinking it now and I love it. Number 8 is hop on the scales. See that number as data. Learn to use the scales as a tool. And let go of the idea that it is a trigger. It is not an inherent trigger. It is not a trigger for me. It is not a trigger for the thousands of people who use this as an accountability tool. It has not been shown by any of the research that has actually tested whether it is mentally harmful. It has not been shown to be so. So use it as the tool and the powerful tool that the evidence that we have shows that it is. Because when you daily weigh, you do two things. You first of all learn about yourself. You learn your own data. You learn your body's fluctuations. You learn that, hey, when I'm on my period, my weight goes up. When I have more salt in my diet or I eat later in the day, my weight goes up. When I haven't drunk as much, my weight maybe goes down. When I've had whatever situation, my weight goes up and down. You start to learn your own little fluctuations. This is really positive because the more we know about ourselves, the more we can actually use that rather than being scared of it. So that's the first thing, you learn about yourself. The second thing is you start to get accurate information to actually make judgments about where to change your behavior. Because if you weigh yourself daily, you're going to see this up and down graph. You're going to see some days it's up, you're going to see some days it's down. You're going to see, I can eat perfectly for 2 days and my weight still go up. But over the long term, when I continue on with my habits and I don't allow that to be an excuse for throwing in the towel, which is ridiculous, by the way. Like, please, just stop doing that. Just make a decision. It's childish. It's childish when you know that you are much, much more than just the fat that is being weighed. Like, you're not just weighing fat. You're weighing bones, you're weighing muscle, you're weighing glycogen stores, which is the energy that your body's holding on from the carbohydrates that you eat. You are poop. There's poop in there that it's being weighed. There's water, there's food, there's all these things. It is so childish to hop on the scales after being quote unquote perfect for 2 days, not see the number that you want to see and then throw on the towel. Like, we're beyond that. Like, have some maturity. Have some mental toughness. Have some ability to look at the real data and not just be emotionally driven by your old patterns of behavior. Like, let go of that. Let go of how bad it makes you feel. You can get past that. But it starts by recognizing, hey, this is a problem that I hold. I have a pattern of looking at a number on a scale and letting that influence my decision. That is a pattern. And if I want to change, I'm going to let go of that as an identity. I'm going to embrace a new identity. When I hop on the scales and the number's not what I want to see, I approach that as a data-driven person. It, even if it feels absolutely terrible. Because the cool thing is that when you start to track those ups and downs, over time, you start to see the patterns of what's actually happening. Over a course of a week, you can see that you have a downward trend. Over the course of a month, you can see that even more. If you are doing the things that allow you to actually see success, you can see upward trends and you can modify your behavior. This is why it's an accountability tool. Because if you daily weigh and your habits start to slip, that is the feedback loop that allows you to know, I need to get back on track. I've never met a single person who daily weighs, who their habits have slipped and they continue to daily weigh and they don't change. I've never met that person. It's like looking at your bank account every single day, seeing all the money that you're spending. At some point that becomes so painful that you either stop or you modify your behavior. And a lot of people just put their head in the ground like an ostrich. So don't be the ostrich, actually be data-driven. Look at those things, face the fear of the reality, and then you can actually make changes. I love it when people come into our program and they start to daily weigh and they see so much data about themselves. They start to see, hey, I'm making progress over the long haul. It is not about the day-to-day. The day-to-day is going to fluctuate, but I can see that downward trend. And I can have those moments or those weeks where things pause. I can have those moments where maybe I'm making a creamy pasta and I'm making nachos and I'm making some allowances in my diet, but I'm still eating my veg. I've still got my core veggies. I'm still prepping up my potatoes every few days. And I've still got my core meals that I'm making. And so the scales is just paused. And then it starts to go down again. Because the scales is really just a latent measure of all these other things that you're doing. One of the other really amazing things about daily weighing is that it stops you expecting to see some kind of number and then feeling really demoralized when you don't, especially if you think there's been a long enough timeline. Because what will often happen is you hop on the scales at the start of the week, you don't weigh yourself every day, and then you hop on the end of the week after you've had a perfect week, and then the number's gone up, and you think, well, that's just proof that nothing works for me and my hormones are broken, I'm going to quit. When if you had been weighing every day, you would have seen, actually, there is a downward trend, and that just happened to be an up day. You've actually got more data to make that decision. Over the course of a month, that's even more powerful. But you can imagine how demoralizing it would be if you are, quote unquote, doing everything right. You hop on the scales at the start of the month, you weigh yourself at the end of the month, and nothing's changed. Maybe you just had a really known reason that weight had gone up on the last day of the month, and now you think that you've made no progress. It's not that you've made no progress, it's that you just don't have accurate data. So get that accurate data. Another great thing about the scales is that it gives you a feedback loop about what you're doing and whether you need to make changes. So if you want to speed up your weight loss, you can see, hey, I'm going to modify my behavior so that I can get more into a calorie deficit. If you're in a plateau, you're going to be able to see that. If you're doing quote unquote everything right, but it's not actually making changes, it's going to allow you to look back and say, hey, where can I make tweaks? Where can I change my behavior so that this does actually start to work? So it allows you to be making the decisions that are going to get you to your goal. Number 9, this is more behavior based, but don't skip 2 days. You're never going to have a perfect score. But if you make this a mantra to your life that you will not skip, I wouldn't even say 2 days. I would say don't skip twice. If you miss a meal, if you do something different to what you said you were going to do, just pick it up the next opportunity that you have. If you miss a workout, don't miss the next one. Get back on track the next one. If you use this as the guideline, then you can always win, because even if you miss, you win by getting yourself back on the horse very, very fast. And so this is one of the very core habits that allows you to beat all or nothing behavior and binge and restrict or intentional versus gaining cycles that most people go on, because they just recover quicker. I'm increasingly convinced that success is much more determined by how fast we recover than how successful we are day to day. You have to be someone who can recover very, very fast. So I use this a ton in my day to day, and it is incredibly powerful for developing the consistency that you need to start creating those reps and creating those habits and patterns of behavior and bridging that trust gap. Especially if old you doesn't get back quickly. You think about this trust gap that you have with yourself right now. You can bridge that very fast by becoming the kind of person who breaks those old patterns of behavior. You've probably got an identity around, well, I just gave up. Poor me. May as well throw in the towel. You might not know that's your identity, but if that's your pattern of behavior, that's probably how you feel. Well, I always just muck it up. I'm just a failure. There's no point. I'm never going to win. Well, what if you change that narrative? What if you proved that that's not your identity, and your identity is, I am someone who doesn't skip twice, who doesn't miss twice. You just get back up and do it. Whew, you just changed who you are. One tiny little action at a time. The 10th one is to have a habits-based exercise goal so that you can build reps. Exercise, while phenomenally important, hugely beneficial, vital to our long-term health, is not something that helps us lose weight. So I'm not saying don't do it. Please prioritize exercise and have a habits-based goal. So this could look like a daily step goal. Keep it small, make that barrier easy to jump over while you're building the reps. It could be something like going to the gym a certain amount of times a week. Again, keep it small, make it easy. So if you're wanting to build a habit around going to the gym, make it as easy as going and doing one rep, or walking through the door and then walking out again. Make that habit really tiny and then layer onto it. It could be a certain amount of that you want to run in a month. So you're building a habit around running a K a day or something like that. It could be skateboarding for 10 minutes a day. It could be going for a walk with your kids every day. It could be dancing for 5 minutes. It could be 10 minutes of yoga. Really anything that you can have that shifts your exercise and your view of movement to be around a habit rather than some kind of thing that's going to help you to lose weight. Because then you can layer on it and you can build on it, and you're becoming the kind of person who intentionally moves on a regular cadence. That is going to transform your life in and of itself. And so lastly, to put all of this together, the goal here is to make this a lifestyle. And all of these things are things that are not really difficult. Every single one of them are things that I do to this day. I don't cook with oil. I buy core veggies. There's a million broccoli in my fridge right now. I cook with half veggies in every recipe. I'm going to make a pasta today because I got some basil and I got some eggplant and I've got courgette. Finally, summer is here and it's going to be loaded with veggies, and I'm going to really enjoy it because pasta is life. I have a core starch that I prep consistently. It's in my fridge right now. I've got little cut up potatoes. I've got some kumara in there. I got some tofu, which I'm loving right now. I've got a pre-made condiment. I have many packets of hummus, some packets, bottles, boxes. What have we got? Pottles? I have so many pottles of hummus. This is actually a problem. I do not know why we have so many open containers of the same hummus. I have my core meals and I eat them consistently. I have my soda water right here and I do not drink other things. Before I move on from this, let me just say one thing. Let me preface one thing. I do drink alcohol or even fizzy drinks very, very rarely, but it is not a part of my identity. It is an aberration from normality for me. So it's something that I would be very, very happy to say, you know what, if this is what required to me to get to my goals, yeah, I don't have to do it. I don't hold on to it very lightly. I'm also in a stage where I'm not trying to lose weight. So that's another thing to factor in. It's never been an identity piece for me, whether I drink. I grew up not having parents that drank. I probably can count on two hands the amount of times that I've had a drink in my entire life. It's not something that is really important to me. And that identity really does serve me because I don't need it. But I just wanted to preface that and say, I do very, very rarely drink something, but I keep it out of my environment. It's not something that I have in my home. I still hop on the scales every day. I don't skip 2 days. And I have habits-based exercise goals. So I have a goal where I leave my house at 2 on a Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to go work out. And then on Tuesday at 5:30 with a friend who I have a commitment. She's going to be there, so it's a commitment device. I have to show up. And then also on 7:30 on a Thursday. So it's a habits-based goal as opposed to I need to get X amount stronger by this date. So I actually do show up because there's no reason for me to be demoralized or feel like I'm not making progress, because my true goal is just to be there and show up. So these are things that I will keep doing for the long haul. All the food stuff I will do for the rest of my life. It's easy. It's part of who I am now. My identity has changed. So anything that you have heard here that you are not implementing, start doing it. Pick and choose what you're going to do. Start making the changes that you need to allow it to happen. And if you're needing help, if you're needing accountability, if you want a community that is going to support you doing this, if you're wanting the person who's going to kick you in the butt and say, hey, Susie, you said you were going to do this and you didn't. How are we going to make a change to do that? Okay, let's get it out of your home. Let's have those hard conversations. Let's make the changes we need to. Then Lean with Plants can help you. We would love to work with you inside of our coaching program and actually make this the year, well, end of 2023. Make 2024, whatever year you're listening to this, the year that you absolutely crush it. Then you can find the link in the description. Hop on a call with our team to talk about working together. All right, and that is it from me. I hope that you found this helpful and valuable and useful, and I will see you next week for another episode. All right, bye.